those who have returned. We are thankful for your presence. Always thankful to God for his goodness, his mercy. The psalmist says that it lasts forever, giving us another opportunity to be here and to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm so glad that we take it seriously when we think about the Lord's Day, that all day is the Lord's Day, so another opportunity to worship him is something I don't believe we should take for granted nor take lightly, but to avail ourselves of every opportunity. So I can't think of a better place to be, and good to see you tonight. If I told you that there was a key to happiness in 2014, and there was a way for you to be truly happy, I believe most folks would probably want to know what that is. And I believe if you even ask the world, you say, hey, you know what? There's a formula. There's a key to true happiness in 2014. So as folk are making their resolutions, their New Year's resolutions, and I'm sure much of it is centered around their desire to be happy. I think that's what most people want. That's their desire. I just want to be happy. And whatever will bring me happiness, I hope that I can do certain things that will yield happiness for me this year. And so if you told someone, well, I have a key, I have a formula that will surely make you happy in 2014, would you do those things that I would show you? You know, one of these days I'm going to get my mirror. Y'all just sit there. I say, would you do that? And y'all run. Of course you would, because everyone really wants to be happy. Well, locked up in Psalm 119, just a few verses in the Psalm 119 is the key to happiness in 2014. Let me show it to you. 119, Psalm 119, 1 through 16, is the key to happiness in 2014. I don't believe it should take us long to get through this. So notice with me, if you will, verses 1 through 3. If you truly want to be happy this year, make the will of God the rule for all of your actions. If you truly want to be happy, make the will of God the rule for all of your actions. Read verses 1 through 3, Brother Craig.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways.
Make the will of God the rule for all our actions this year. My friends, God's word is a law to us, and we are to walk in the paths of his law. Now, to walk in God's ways is to walk in the path that he has literally marked out for us. We talked about Jeremiah quickly this morning, but let's look at it again in Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and notice this, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, if you think about that, he is speaking as if there's a traveler who were very careful in trying to find their way. They were so careful in trying to find their way home that they would literally stop and ask someone and inquire of the right way. So he says, this is what we ought to be doing for our souls. We ought to be trying to find the right way. So he says, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. You ask for the old paths because you are trying to find the good way. And so when you find the good way, he says, then you have to walk therein, because not every old path is good. So we are looking for the good way, which is why we are inquiring of it. Now, if you understood that physically, trying to find your direction, trying to get home, trying to come home at last, obviously we should understand that spiritually. Because we are looking for the best way or the good way, so that we might come home at last, the home of the soul, the home that God has prepared for those who love him. So as I'm looking for that good way, then I need to make sure that I'm trying to find the way that is best for my soul. I'm trying to find that way that God has owned and that way that God has blessed. If I'm going to be blessed, I've got to be in the way that God blesses. I've got to own that way that God has owned. You know, when you look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11, Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech ye as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from all fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So what is Peter saying? He is saying that there is a way, my friends, that God has not blessed. God has not blessed the way of fleshly lust. Therefore, for me to imbibe the way of fleshly lust is to imbibe a way that is not in the best interest of my soul. Consider what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 12. He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, that word expedient is the Greek word sumphero. And that means all ways are not good to expedite, obviously, those things that are good for me spiritually. All things are not good. In other words, there are some things that is not good. It's not going to be profitable for me. It's not going to be in the best interest of my Christian walk, in my Christian faith, or in any way in the best interest of my soul. So therefore, even though all things might be lawful unto me, all things do not conduce advantage for my Christianity. All things does not expedite me going forward as I'm looking toward the home of the soul. Always, my friends, have not been blessed and owned by God. So he says here, you need to make the will of God the rule of all your actions. If we were to summarize verses 1 through 3, it shows that the psalmist delighted in the fact that those who walk in wholehearted obedience to the law are the ones who are truly blessed by God. Now, when we talk about being blessed, we're talking about being happy, are we not? How blessed is that man? How well off is that individual? How happy is the individual who will take the will of God and make it the rule for all of their actions? If you truly want to be happy this year, my friends, that's what you need to do. And God will bless that way. Why? Because God owns that way. God blesses that way. And if I walk in that way, my friends, I will truly be happy and blessed this year. Notice I said truly. I'm not talking about the happiness of man. I'm talking about the happiness of God, the way that God blesses. To be wholehearted is to be habitually sincere in one's intentions. Now, that's the first key to us being happy in 2014. But the second one is found in verse number 7. If you're going to be happy this year in 2014, we must make the will of God the priority of our learning. My friends, you're going to do some learning this year, aren't you? But what's going to be the priority of your learning? If you truly want to be happy, not only do you make the will of God the rule for all your actions, but you make the will of God the priority this year of your learning. You're going to be happier when you know more about God. You're going to be happier when you know better about God's will. You're going to be happier when you got a more complete knowledge about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My friends, that is going to make you happier this year. Notice what he says in verse number 7, Brother Craig.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments.
David desires to perfect himself in his religion. Now let me ask you a question. Do you desire to perfect yourself this year in your religion? Now, you have to let that marinate for a moment, because we don't talk like that, do we? That's biblical talk. King James biblical talk. Perfecting yourself in your religion. But that's what David was desiring to do. He wanted to perfect himself. He just wanted to get better and better and be more complete in his religion. Do you have a desire to be better and better and more complete? Literally to perfect yourself this year in your religion. Well, we remove all the excuses and we just go ahead and do what has to be done. We become what God wants us to become, because we're going to perfect ourselves this year in our religion. Now notice this. The psalmist seeks to do this by learning God's judgments. He already knew much, but he was not content to rest on what he knew formerly. But he wanted to press forward and learn more. Isn't that noble? If we're going to go to Christ school, we might as well sit at his feet and become scholars. Don't you think? We're going to Christ school. That's what you're doing. We're talking about this year. We're going to be in the school of learning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to sit at his feet and learn of him. If we're going to do that, we might as well become scholars in Jesus. I would think that'd be the aim. Jesus will say in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? Because, my friends, that's what we need to do. We need to learn of him. This psalmist was going to make use of the learning. Notice, when we go to secular school, I mean, there are many of us have been to college, right? And when you go to secular school and decide on a particular degree, generally you decide as to how you hope to use that degree at some point when you get into the field. Now, whether or not it works out that way, and for many it doesn't, you go to school, you get this degree, you come out, and all of a sudden you can't find a job in your field. All of a sudden you have to find yourself doing something else because, you know, it's just not a lot out there for that particular degree. And so, but we have plans. When we go to school, hey, we want to be this, we want to be that, and we come out, and man, we have some ideas as to how we're going to utilize it. Now, whether that works out or not is another thing entirely. But now think about that in terms of your spiritual education. When you learn more about Christ this year, when you learn more about God's will and his way, the question to you is, what are you going to do with the learning? See, the psalmist was not going to be content with what he already knew, but he was going to add to that. And he had some ideas as to what he was going to do once he gained this greater knowledge. When you gain this greater knowledge this year of Christ, what do you intend to do with it? The psalmist knew what he was going to do with it. Notice again what he says. Read verse 7 again. Notice that he knew exactly what he was going to do with this new learning. Read it again.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart.
There it is. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Read. When I learn thy righteous judgments, when I gain greater knowledge, when I come to a fuller and complete understanding, when I know you better, I'm going to praise you for it. That's what he intended to do. I'm going to praise you with this new knowledge. He planned on giving God thanks. He planned on praising God. When you come out of school, and you go into your field, the litmus test of your learning is your ability to perform what you have learned. You know, there may be a lot of folks in your field. And when those employers get ready to hire, you all may have the same degree. But what they're looking for is the person who's going to be able to perform at the highest level in accordance with what they learned. And so there's a lot of competition then. Maybe in your field. So the litmus test is going to be, can you then perform based on that which you have learned? But interestingly enough, isn't it the same way spiritually? Don't you know that if you gain this knowledge of God, God is going to wait and see what you do with it? And so when you gain this greater knowledge, when you come to a better understanding, when you learn Jesus, when you become that scholar in Christ, what do you plan on doing with that knowledge? Are you going to be able to perform what you've learned? Well, it's the same litmus test of your learning spiritually. Is that when you learn this year, the ability to be able to perform that which you learned is what's important. There can be no true praise without performance. People always think about thanking God in a sense where they open their mouths and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. But we're talking about thanking him with your ability to perform those things that you've learned. Notice what the psalmist says in verse number 8.
I will keep thy statutes.
Well, there it is. You see, I'm going to praise you when I have learned. I'm going to do what? Keep
thy statutes.
Read.
Now,
James would say, in James 1:22, he says, but be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man who beholds himself, or looks into a glass, if you will. For he beholds himself and goeth his way and forget what manner of man he was. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, he said, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds. My friends, when you look into the mirror of God's word, it's one thing to come to a knowledge or understanding of that word. It's another thing altogether to actually perform it. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 26 will say, every man that hath these, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. My friends, if you're going to learn of God's word this year, you need to perform those things that you learn. We need to put it into practice. We don't want to just gain the knowledge and then do nothing with it. Well, so if you want to make a resolution this year, make a resolution that if I'm going to learn more of God's word, more of God's will, more about his son, then I'm going to also make a resolution to keep and to perform those things that I've learned. Now, why is all that important? Because there are benefits to making God's will the rule for your life. There are benefits to actually performing those things and making God's will the priority of your learning. There are benefits when we apply God's word, then we can receive his benefits. So notice some of the benefits beginning at verse number 9. Come on, read.
Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way?
Uh-huh.
By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
When he say cleanse his way, he's talking about cleansing his conduct. Cleansing his life. Cleansing his lifestyle. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? If you're going to cleanse your conduct, it's by obeying God's word. My friends, you can't go wrong in your conduct if you come from the word of God. If you do those things that are stipulated in God's word, my friends, your conduct will be just fine. Must make the word of God the rule in your life. That's how a young man will cleanse his way, taking heed thereto according to the word of God. That's a great benefit, to be able to cleanse your way. Well, how you cleanse your way? Because you take God's word and you make it your rule. You make it your standard. Not only that, when you take God's word and make it your standard and your requirement, you can then enlist God's help. Notice verse number 10.
Wherewith my whole heart have I sought thee.
Hold on, don't miss that point. He said, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Read.
Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Don't let me fail. Don't let me go astray. Don't let me fall. Don't let me lose. Why does he ask for this? How is it that he can ask for this? He can ask for this because he has enlisted God's help, because he is willing to perform those things that God requires. We must be willing to do our part if we're going to enlist God's help. There's a whole lot of folks, a myriad of folks out there in the world that wants God's help but won't do anything God says to them. I believe it was Jesus said, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say, Luke 6:46. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 9. If a man refuses to hear God's law, even that man's prayer, the Bible says, shall be an abomination. How many people want God's help, but they don't want to do the things that God requires? Well, the psalmist wanted to enlist God's help. But before we enlist God's help, we must be willing to do our part. Peter says we are kept by the power of God. You remember what Peter said? When Peter writes to those saints are under heavy persecution, and they are suffering many things, chapter 1 and verse number 5, or chapter 1 and verse number 7, they are under that fiery ordeal. But Peter was saying, verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But in verse number 5, he says, who are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. My friend, God keeps us as we keep ourselves faithful to his commands. So as long as they continue faithfully in the faith, God will keep them. My friend, they might be in danger, but they will be delivered. There's a lot of danger out there for the children of God, but God can keep us. You want to enlist God's help? It depends on your faithfulness. Now, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and you put that with Jude 21, Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. So there is something for you to do as well. You see, God provides salvation, his love, his man's responsibility to keep himself through faithfulness in that sphere. So in one sense, Peter said, God will keep us, and Jude said, you need to keep yourself. Well, the psalmist seemed to understand that, because he recognized that he is going to be faithful to God. And then he asked for God to help him. Don't let me fail. Don't let me fall. Boy, I'll tell you what. You talking about true happiness this year? Apply the will of God and receive his benefits. Notice another one of his benefits. You can be morally pure with his benefits. Verse 11.
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Applying the will of God to your life can help you avoid sin. One of the greatest examples in scripture given of this whole this idea is Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil was tempting him. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, what does Jesus say? It is written. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 7, what does Jesus say? It is written. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10, what does Jesus say? It is written. Why? Every time the devil tempted him, Jesus came back and overcame him with scripture. You can become morally pure, my friend, when you put the word of God in your heart. You can avoid a great deal of sin. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Not only that, this will allow you to bless God. You want to bless God this year? We always talk about God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. Why don't you bless God? Notice verse number 12.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes.
See, the psalmist blessed God. Not only is he looking for the blessing and he wants to be blessed by God, but he also recognized that he can bless God. When things happen good for you this year because you have enlisted God's will and you've made the rule for your life, because you have made God's will the priority of your learning, and then you can receive all of these benefits, and once you receive the benefits, then you can look at God and bless him. Bless thee, O God. God, because he's good. And the psalmist constantly is blessing God because he's able to see the benefits of being faithful to God. Notice verse number 13. This will allow you to become a blessing to others. See, once you start blessing God because you are following his will is the rule for your life. You can bless God because his learning is the priority, or his will is the priority of your learning. And you can start blessing God because now you're receiving those benefits. Now God is blessed. You bless God. You look up to God. Too many folks are looking up to God and they wondering what he's doing. We look up to God and bless him for what he's doing. And now, because of that attitude, you also now become a blessing to others. Look at verse 13.
With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth.
With my lips have I done what?
Declared
all
the judgments of thy mouth.
He wasn't going to keep that good stuff to himself. You see, when you have a proper influence on others, when you set forth the right example before others, when you teach others about Christ, you, my friend, become a blessing to others. Once the psalmist had put God in the forefront, and once he decided that the will of God was going to be his rule for his life, and once he decided that the will of God was going to be priority for his learning, now he is receiving personally those benefits. He's blessing God. And my friends, when that happens, you can't help but be a blessing to other folks. Why? Because now you got the right attitude. Now you got the right disposition. Now you've got the right heart. And so when you meet other people and they meet you, that stuff can't help but come out of you. Why? Because you got the right stuff in you. You ever seen that commercial about those athletes with Gatorade? They sweating Gatorade. And then the question comes, is it in you? You got the right stuff in you, the right stuff coming out of you, isn't it? And that makes you a blessing to others, because now you're going to have the right influence. Oh, you're going to be influencing folks this year. And why? You happy. They wonder, why are you so happy? What's wrong with you? Why are you so giddy all the time? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you got the right stuff in you. That's why. You're happy. You're blessed. And it shows. You got the right influence now. When people see you, they want to know what you got going on. Now you can give an account for those things, for your faith. You can answer questions regarding what you believe. My friends, when you have the right influence and you've set the right example, you become a blessing to other folks. And then, my friends, with those influences and those examples, sometimes it affords you an opportunity to teach them, because they are paying attention to you. Now you share with them what you know. And you know a lot this year because you went to his school. You see, you made your learning this year a priority concerning Christ. Well, once you get there, then you can rejoice. Give me verse 14.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Mm.
Tell you what, you notice the psalmist has his priorities straight, don't he? He's rejoicing in the right thing. When you read this, does this person sound happy? Go like this. It's all right. Go like this. Yeah, it sounds happy, doesn't it? Doesn't it just sound good? It kind of feels good, doesn't it? You see, he's got it. And now he's rejoicing. We don't know anything about rejoicing, coming here looking all down and tore up and tore down, like life whooping you and all this kind of stuff. We don't understand this, but when we get it, when we do what the psalmist did, we can get the same thing the psalmist got. And then we can rejoice. Give me verse 15 and verse number 16.
I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
Yes, sir.
I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
He looks forward. He looks forward with resolution, never to cool his affections for the word of God. You ever seen people come in and we would say they're on fire for the Lord? You ever felt like you were on fire at one time in your Christian walk, where you seemed like you were just, you know, you were there, you was ready. You know, every time the doors opened, you were there. Every time you had an opportunity, you was talking about Christ, you know, and we would say, boy, that person's on fire. You was learning. You was willing to study. You was at every time somebody opened a Bible, you were there. You were trying to get other folks to study with you. All these kind of things. You were asking questions. You were just on fire. Has it cooled? Has it settled down? See, the psalmist is saying, I'm never going to cool my affections for your word. I'm never going to cool my affections for you. I'm not going to let this wear off. That's where we have to be this year. 2014, I'm just talking about being happy. That'll make you happy. It just makes you smile when you think about it. And when you get to this point, what you used to previously see as a duty, as an obligation, now becomes a delight. I know when folk are having a hard time just making it into this building, they don't have this. People say, well, Brother Dismick, you know you really can't judge people like that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That's why we read the Word of God, so that we can judge things like that, so that we can help those people. If we got to pry you and pull you and kick you and prod you and all this kind of stuff just to get you in here, I know you don't have this. If opening your mouth to sing to the Lord God is a chore to you, I don't feel much like singing. You don't have this. You think for a moment, if this psalmist that wrote these words could be in our audience, that he probably wouldn't look a little different than you and I? You think he might seem like he might be a little odd and stick out a little oddly if he was sitting here? You think he may not just be just full of joy and understanding what he's engaging in the worship of God? But doesn't it seem like it becomes a habit to us, just something we're supposed to do? And we kind of sometimes just slide in and fall in and let me get ready to, hey, gotta go to worship. But where's that enthusiasm? Where's that delight? Where's that joy? I'm not saying we don't have it.
I'm just saying sometimes it don't look like we have it. That's all I'm saying. The key to happiness, 2014. What are you going to do this year? Tell you what you ought to do. 2014. You ought to make the will of God the priority, or make it the rule, rather, of your life. This year, you ought to make the will of God the rule of your learning, or the priority of your learning. Learn as much as you can, but make sure you got your priorities straight. Don't go out and learn so much that you forget to let God's learning come first. And when you learn, perform those things that you learn. If you learn something, come in here and share it. Show it. Use it in the world. Use it among the co-workers. Make use of that learning this year. And once you commit yourself to performing those things that you learned this year, watch the benefits. You'll cleanse your way, become morally pure. You'll be able to bless God. You'll become a blessing to others. You won't be falling in here, scraggling in here, down, and all this kind of stuff, depressed and all this stuff. You're going to be able to have some joy and some delight. We want to get rid of y'all this year who don't want to be here. That's the aim. We want you out of here. Not physically. I mean, we just want to remove that attitude. That's all. See, y'all was, there you go. No, we just want that person gone. We want you to want to be here. Why? This is about God. That's what we want. That's what you all want. You can be happy. 2014. That's the key. I think we all ought to take part in that. Don't you? All right. If you're here tonight, maybe you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You need to be one. You can start that very journey tonight by obeying the gospel. If you believe in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess his sweet name, that he is the Son of God, and you're willing to submit to baptism, my friends, he'll add you to his body, to his church, to the one church that he has, and you be faithful, do the best you can, kind of like the psalmist we described today, and just go ahead. You can have joy, and you can bless God, and you can be a blessing to others, my friend. God will be pleased with you and give you a home in heaven when this life is over. All you have to do is respond to him in gospel obedience. If we haven't been doing that, maybe there's those of us who have fallen short, and maybe we need to really rededicate ourselves. We can do that again. And what a good time to do it right now in the beginning of 2014, so that we can be all that we can be, and we can bless God, and God will bless us. If you need to respond to this invitation, do it now as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.
Hark the